الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا إن في الجسد لمضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله، وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله، ألا وهي القلب، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. Before every amal, we should always be trying to refresh our intention. And this refreshing the intention before every amal is one of the prescriptions for developing this ikhlas. Ikhlas, there's no button that a person can press and he'll acquire ikhlas. Like all the other qualities that we have to acquire, there's no button that can be pressed and it'll just happen at the press of a button. There's an effort that is required, and it's an ongoing effort, and that effort doesn't stop at any point in time. That effort finishes off with death. As long as there's life, the effort carries on. So among the things that we have to keep making an effort to inculcate within ourselves is ikhlas, because this is the root of everything. The root of acceptance is ikhlas. If there's ikhlas, then help to try and inculcate. So among the things too, which will help to try and inculcate this ikhlas, is this refreshing of the niyat and the intention. So to keep refreshing it, that what is the purpose behind this amal? Why am I undertaking this? What is the motivating factor? So we have gathered here with the tawfiq of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This too requires refreshing the intention. Why have we come? Why are we seated here? What is the purpose of speaking? What is the purpose of listening? So if this niyat is correct, if this niyat is refreshed and renewed and corrected, then inshallah there is hope that we will gain something and we will take back some benefit. So the niyat is obviously to correct our lives, to get closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to become His true and loyal and obedient servants. And the sum total of all this, the summary of it rather, is that we get onto a life where we have given up sin and come onto the complete obedience of Allah ta'ala. So that is the purpose of these gatherings for myself, for all of us, that Allah Ta'ala make it a means, inshallah, that it becomes a means of us coming onto that life where we have made tawbah from all sin and have come onto the total obedience of Allah Ta'ala. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, earning the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and that's the ultimate. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. The pleasure of Allah Ta'ala is the ultimate. So in any case, this is the niyat that we should have, and this is what we have to keep reminding ourselves, wherever we may be. Whether we are starting the day, whether it's in the middle of the day, whether it's the end of the day, whether we are in our jobs, our businesses, our professions, whether we are with our families, whether we are on the road somewhere driving, whether we're walking someplace, all the time to keep reminding ourselves that our objective in dunya is nothing but to earn the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. If we have understood many other things but didn't understand this, we haven't yet started off in terms of what our objective in dunya should be. So this is our objective. If we've done a lot of things but haven't earned Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, we've earned nothing. So this has to be uppermost in our minds and hearts. In this dunya Allah Ta'ala has made a place of test and challenge. The challenges are many. in all forms and means, the challenge of nafs, the challenge of shaitan, all the temptations that nafs and shaitan put in front of us. These are the big challenges. The challenges that nafs and shaitan put in our way. These are the big challenges. The challenges that nafs and shaitan put in our way. The small challenges, sometimes are the various things that happen in day-to-day life. Sometimes it's illness, sometimes it's difficulty, it's sometimes a financial matter, it's sometimes some social issues, challenges. These are also challenges, but these are the smaller challenges. And big challenges are the challenges that test the person's iman. So big challenges are challenges that can derail a person from the path of Jannah. So this is the aspect that we have to focus on most. See, that how are we comparing with regards to the challenges? Are we passing? Are we overcoming these challenges? Are we getting saved from falling into them? Getting affected by them? Or are these challenges sweeping us along? Nafs and shaitan are taking us along in that flood of temptations. What is our situation? This is what we have to reflect on. This is what we need to ponder over. So in terms of the things that nafs and shaitan put in the way of a person, and take a person into many, many things. That's sometimes all these various different things are discussed. So because that also requires discussion. Quran Sharif has discussed many of these things. In the hadith of Rasulullah, some there's detail about it. All these various sins are the problem. Sins are a bigger problem than any physical illness. Sins are a bigger problem than any other financial issue. Sins are a bigger problem than any other domestic matter. And sins are a greater problem than any other issue that an insan can face. Because it depends on the nature of the sin. Allah forbids if that sin has reached the level of kufr and shirk, then everything is gone. And if a person leaves dunya out of this note, then there's no chance of any good thereafter. He left the dunya on kufr and shirk. He left the dunya without iman. Then there's perpetual doom. There's perpetual difficulty and hardship. There's no chance of any return thereafter. Any safety and salvation. But Allah forbids that there is something little there, though not the level of kufr and shirk. See, Allah forbids make haram into halal. That takes his iman away. So now he's trying to make haram, dabbling in some. That takes his iman away. So where it started off from, dabbling in some sin and thinking this is a small thing. But the way it finished off, it led to kufr. Sometimes that sin itself, a person doesn't try to justify. But in a very, very delicate moment, he chooses something that takes his iman away. One person was caught up in some haram love, in some illicit love. But now he was caught up, it was a one-sided thing. He got so deeply caught up in that love, but the other party was not interested in getting involved in any sin, but he was so deeply involved in it. Meaning his heart and mind, he had just given it over. He was not trying to avoid this and trying any way and every way to get into that haram. And life carried on, and as a result now, because he can't get to his objective, so now his physical health also started deteriorating and he became extremely ill. Now it started becoming a situation where it was a matter of between life and death. Person was on his deathbed. So on this deathbed, somebody said to him, that look, now you are in this critical condition. You are in this critical condition. At least make Tawbah now. All this while you ignored all the advice, you ignored all the things people were trying to explain to you. Look, don't get yourself involved in this moment. At least now make tawbah. So now in this critical moment, he's between life and death. And in this critical moment, what comes out of his tongue? What comes out of his tongue, he says something or some lines in Arabic poetry. The meaning of that, what he said was, that to have this beloved with me is more beloved to me than meeting Allah Ta'ala, na'uz billah. And saying this, he left this dunya. This was the last words on his tongue, that it is more beloved to me to get hold of this beloved than meeting Allah Ta'ala. Na'uz billahi min zalik. In that critical moment, these sins reached that peak, that kufr came out of his mouth. And he left this dunya on kufr. This is how dangerous sin can become. Relationships, sin of gambling, sins of illicit relationships, sin of gambling, sins of indulging in interest, taking interest, giving interest, sins of music, of ghibat, sins of the eyes, sins of the ears, sins of the hands and feet. And there's so many things that every day there's a new fitna that a person hears about, what not carries on. Now, from time to time, various things are discussed. Ulama Kiram, the Mashayikh, would be advising us from time to time. On the Jummah occasion, we would be hearing about many discussions, many things would be brought to our attention. But the thing is that these are all various different forms of sin. What is the root issue? Because the root issue is what needs to be identified. The rest of it is all coming out of the same root. It's all branches that are coming out of the same root. It's the root issue that needs to be identified. And the solution to that root issue needs to be adopted. If that root issue is identified and the solution to that is adopted, then all these branches of sin will dry up on its own. If a person has chopped the root, where the branches are going to remain? So what is the root issue? So the root issue in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, which is very, very clearly spelled out, and in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it all stems out of the root of ghaflat. Ghaflat, heedlessness, unmindfulness, not being conscious of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The remembrance of Allah ta'ala not being dominant in the heart. Every mu'min has a remembrance of Allah in his heart. That is why he's a mu'min. If the remembrance of Allah ta'ala was not in his heart at all, then where there'll be iman left? But that remembrance, if it is not dominant, it is not so strong that it overcomes everything else in the heart, then these things are going to surface. And these things are going to, from time to time, attack this heart and derail it. The root issue is ghaflat. And the solution to this ghaflat is dhikr. Dhikr and ghaflat are opposites. So till that zikr doesn't become dominant in the heart, till then a person is in severe danger. Then it just requires a little bit of a spark. Like that, he'll be fine. Everything's okay. But some spark and he'll get burned. He won't know how to try and avoid that spark. But if that zikr of Allah Ta'ala, that remembrance and consciousness of Allah Ta'ala is dominant in the heart, then that is what will come to the fore. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, his incident is very, very well known. We've heard it over and over again. But this is the purpose of the Quran Sharif. And the incidents that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, the incidents of the various Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Quran Sharif is a book of principle, principles of deen. Very concise book. The ahadith, they are the explanation of the Quran Sharif. Great detail. Put the Quran Sharif and put all the books of hadith, The Quran Sharif comparatively is very, very concise. But in this concise book, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam over and over again. Because these incidents are for ibrat. It's for taking a lesson. Because a person learns best from an example. So Allah Ta'ala presented the lives of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and their example. So Allah Ta'ala presented the example of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, that he's in this room, trapped in this room, and there's this young woman who had extraordinary beauty. This young woman of extraordinary beauty is inviting him, instructing him, Haytalak, that come here, you come here, Haytalak. This is an open invitation to sin, to fulfill the carnal desires, to get involved in haram. Now Yusuf al-Islam has been trapped in this situation. And now this open invitation to sin is presented in front of him. Let alone invitation, instruction. But the dhikr of Allah was dominant in his heart. And his immediate response, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ I seek the protection of Allah. You're asking me to commit this sin? Commit this haram? When a person gets caught up in sin and he thinks he's enjoying himself, he's enjoying his various fulfilling his desires in whichever way, in illicit relationships, in listening to music, in looking at haram, in going to haram places, in gambling, in indulging in so many other vices, person thinks he is enjoying it. That enjoyment is not enjoyment, it is ghaflat. Person is very severely diabetic. His sugar levels are running at 20 and 25. And then now he's eating that mitai and barfi and the chocolates and having that milkshake and whatever else. You say, but I'm enjoying it. But let alone any person who has any doctor, who has medical experience and so on, even any ordinary person, his own family, they are all at edge now. This person is in total ghaflat. How can he be? He's thinking he's enjoying himself. He's destroying himself. He's not enjoying himself. He's thinking he's enjoying himself. But just now, this thing is going to hit another level, he'll be unconscious. Just now, he'll hit another level and he'll lose his mind. Now, he's thinking he's enjoying himself, but he's destroying himself. Now, why he's thinking he's enjoying himself? He's in ghaflat about what his sugar levels are. He's in ghaflat about what this is going to do to him. He's saying, well, enjoy it. But everybody else around him, they are now totally now at edge. What? How do we stop him now? So likewise, when a person thinks he's enjoying sin, he's not enjoying sin, he's destroying himself. But unfortunately, because of the ghaflat, that ghaflat makes a person heedless. He says, we'll see about it later. Worry about it later. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. All these kind of statements, shaitan and nafs prompt us to think about it in this way and make these kind of statements to just take our attention away from the reality and make us persist in the destruction, so that when a person has now already done the damage, now it's too late to now realize what happened. So shaitan just keeps appeasing in some way or the other. Nafs keeps appeasing in some way or the other. And just carries on, doesn't matter. And justifying it in this way. Now, if I don't listen to this music, I can't fall asleep. So now obviously for me it has become a need. You hear people saying these kind of things. Because I can't fall asleep otherwise. So now I have to, this has become a need for me. Al-iyazu billah. That this haram now, somebody made it a need. And actually this, see, if I don't take this particular substance and I don't have this, then now because I've had it for so long, now I'm addicted to the substance, if I don't have it, then my mind cannot function. I can't even fulfill my day-to-day responsibilities and duties. So now if I don't do that, I'm going to get fired from my job. And if I get fired from my job, then I won't be able to take care of my family. And Allah Ta'ala has made that farz upon me. Subhanallah. So Shaitan teaches such ajeeb and such very, very strange ways. Shaitan at that time, when the person was now going towards that haram, that time he didn't think about all this, but this is haram. This will, if I get into this haram, it's going to make me lose my deen, make me lose my dunya. I'll be inviting the wrath of Allah upon myself. That time all day from the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I'll be inviting the wrath of Allah upon myself. That time all that intelligence of his didn't come to the fore. And now when he is deep in that sin, and he's being advised, that look, this mustn't, this can't carry on, you have to stop. So subhanallah, these might sound like strange things, these are realities, unfortunately, very tragic realities. So now this is shaitan and nafs, that greatest tragedy. And where it comes from? The ghaflat. They pry on this ghaflat. So when a person is in this ghaflat, then the slightest thing will just derail it. And if that zikr is dominant, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, obviously the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the Nabi of Allah ta'ala, his heart is immersed in Allah ta'ala's remembrance. His masoom is sinless. But together with that, his heart is immersed in Allah ta'ala's remembrance. So when he was confronted with this, immediately that is what came forth. Qala ma'ad Allah. I seek Allah ta'ala's protection. And this is not confined to the Allah ta'ala. Obviously, that there only their hearts can be immersed in the zikr of Allah ta'ala. Obviously, nobody can match that level of theirs. Nobody can come close to the level that they reached. But Allah ta'ala makes this possible for whoever makes that effort. Allah ta'ala then fills his heart with Allah ta'ala's remembrance. In the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, these are incidents which are very, very well known. But this is the purpose of these incidents, to keep reminding ourselves. Keep reminding ourselves that what is my condition? These incidents, which we've heard over and over again, are mirrors. We have to see our reflection in it. How can I, what's my condition? I have to see in the reflection of these things. How far away or how close am I to it? So in the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, late at night he is patrolling. And in this patrolling, he comes past one house. He was so concerned about the welfare of everybody. So at late at night on his own, he's taking this walk around, making gusht, checking what's going on. And he comes past this one house and he can overhear this mother saying to that daughter, wake up quickly now and add the water to the milk. Meaning now, just now it's morning now. So now while at night, quickly do it. There were people who used to sell milk for their survival, for their day-to-day living. So the daughter stirs and she says, but Ya Ummatah, that has not Umar ibn Khattab forbidden us from this? So the mother says, but where's Umar here now? Get it and do it. The daughter probably was half awake physically, but her heart was wide awake. And she responds and says, that Ya Ummatah, لو كان عمر لو لم يكن عمر حاضرا فإله عمر ناظر. That if Umar is not present, the Rabb of Umar is watching. Her heart, the zikr was dominant. That zikr was dominant, that zikr came to the fore. That if Allah Ta'ala, if Umar is not watching, but the Rabb of Umar radiallahu anhu is watching, Allah Ta'ala is watching. So that, where are we going to hide from Allah Ta'ala? We can't hide from Allah Ta'ala anyway. Hatim Asam rahimahullah, he gave advice to somebody. He said, look, if you want to sin, then go ahead. This was a way of explaining and a way of trying to make a person understand. You want to go sin, then go ahead. But one condition, several conditions he gave him. Among the conditions he said, but you go and do it somewhere where Allah won't see. Go ahead now, you're saying you can't. It's something you just can't avoid. And you are so caught up in this and you are really, you know, it's beyond you and so on and so forth. Then fine, go and do it somewhere where Allah won't see. Then it's fine. See, you want to do it, then do it. Go ahead and do it. But just don't do it on Allah Ta'ala's earth. Go somewhere else and do it. You want to do it, but make sure you don't eat Allah Ta'ala's risk. After all, He's providing the risk for you. So then first stop that. After you've stopped that for a while, and now that has come out of your system, now go and do what you want to do. By the time that comes out of his system, he won't be around. So Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy, Allah Ta'ala provides everything, Allah Ta'ala's rizq, Allah Ta'ala has made it possible to take that breath, every breath. It's Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat and bounty. And now that ghaflat comes over. A person forgets all this and he goes headlong into that sin. Now one sin after the other sin. So now this was that dhikr, that despite being in that very, very simple conditions, but the heart was awake. The heart was overcome with that dhikr. So now that little test came, immediately the zikr came to the fore. And our situation, that because of that ghaflat, now if somebody has to just make one call, and she just has to talk something in a sweet voice, out of necessity that some call came, some customer or some supplier or whatever, person got caught up in that voice. That ghaflat is so deep that that voice toppled him. And now the person says, but when I'm sitting with my wife also, that same voice is still ringing in my mind. That ghaflat is so deep. That zikr, at that time, person forgot to engage his heart in istighfar. Forgot to remember akhirat. Forgot to remember that what I'm hearing, Allah is hearing. And how I'm hearing, Allah knows. One is hearing, and what effect my heart is taking, Allah Ta'ala is aware. So if there's zikr, then a person will be conscious. And the zikr is not dominant, then a person, just one spark carries him away. So the need of the moment is that this is the root issue. The solution is to bring that zikr of the heart alive. That is the solution. To make the heart aware. To make the heart conscious. To make the heart aware. Whether a person then is in the masjid, or whether he's at home, and whether he's at home in the presence of his family, or whether he's totally alone. Whether he's in his hometown, or whether he's in a foreign land where nobody knows him. Because that becomes a big test now. Person is alone in a foreign land. He thinks nobody knows him, so now I'm free to do what I want. If zikr is not dominant in the heart, person carries on now. If the zikr is not dominant in the heart, this person speaks anyhow. My authority now, these people are all under my authority, whether it's my wife, whether it's my employees, whether it's somebody else. So why should I bother about how I say it? Because there's ghaflat. The zikr of Allah is dominant. The arrogance, the pride, this just takes over. And the zikr of Allah is dominant. Person is conscious. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Every word he utters is being recorded. Now the zikr, I'll be taken to task for it. And if it tantamounts to zulm, I'm going to have to answer for this on the day of Qiyamah. I'll be taken to task for it. And if it tantamounts to zulm, then all my big, big ibadat will get dished out to people who I took for granted. And who I said, well, this person I can talk to him anyhow. That person I can deal with him anyhow. That person I can just run over him anyhow. All that salah, the fasting, and the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, and the charity, and the various efforts of deen, and all the good things, the charity, and so many good things were done, all got dished out to others. Why? Because in ghaflat, person didn't bother about what he's saying, how he's saying it, who he's hurting in the process, whose rights he's trampling, what is he doing? If the zikr slips, Hazrat Maasha Abdul Ghani Pulpuri rahmatullah alayhi, and Allah forbid if he slips, Hazrat Maasha Abdul Ghani Pulpuri rahmatullah alayhi, or Sheikh Hazrat Shah Ki Makhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, so often quote this incident and mention it, that once he, one khadim of his, he made some mistake. So Hazrat reprimanded him. A person, well, he was a khadim and very close to Hazrat, so he didn't mean anything to him that he was reprimanded in that manner. In any case, he then went away, meaning it's time for him to go. He went, left for home. Then later, after a while, I said, no, what I did wasn't right. When the heart is zakir, then there will be conscious, this constant remembrance, this consciousness, something will stir. Insan is insan, for that moment there can be a slip up. But then it won't be just brushed aside, just forgotten, so what happened? If I said that, so what? I became very concerned. And now, no, there'll be something that will bother one from within. So he became very concerned. And now he said, no, I can't leave this like this. I got to go and ask him for forgiveness. He didn't say, I'll wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow might be too late. Now he left to go and look for this person's place. The person was living somewhere, and nevertheless, it was a known road, but he was so overcome with this concern and this worry overwhelmed him to such an extent, he got lost. Some place that he was familiar with, he got lost trying to get there. As a result, he got there very, very late in the evening, walking for hours. He lost the road to some place that he was familiar with. Subhanallah, this was the extent of fikr, that worry came over him. Finally, he got to this person's house. And when he got there, almost in the evening now, that person got a shock. Hazrat, you are here now? He says, I reprimanded you, but that reprimand was a bit more than what was warranted. You had submitted yourself to me, so that was within the limits that I should have reprimanded you to correct you. That was the purpose, to correct you. But what I said was beyond what was warranted. I should have said something, but I overstepped the mark. So I have come to ask you for forgiveness. He's the sheikh, this is his khadim and murid. He said, I've come to ask you for forgiveness. He said, there's no such thing as forgiveness for this. You have the right to tell me even more than that. Even if you had to hit me too, it was okay. He said, I will not leave here till you forgive me for this. He said, if that's going to be what's going to please you, then just to make you happy, I'm saying it, that okay, I've forgiven you. There's no need for you to come to ask me for forgiveness. You are my senior and elder. He says, no, I want you to say that you have forgiven me. He says, if that's what's going to please you, then I'm saying it for your happiness, I've forgiven you. After he got this and he heard these words, now he was satisfied and now he returned. And then when he returned that night, he sees in a dream that in one boat, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu are seated in that boat, and he's in another boat, in the water now, in another boat. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu in this dream, that join up the boat of Abdul Ghani to ours. So now he says that in the dream now, Ali radiallahu anhu, he reached out and he brought that boat alongside. And when the two boats now, made out of wood now in the dream, made out of wood, the two boats came together, there was a sound of wood knocking onto wood. He says that sound woke me up. Now ever since, sound in the dream, but that sound, I woke up on that sound. And he says now ever since, every time that thought of that sound that I heard in the dream of the boat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam meeting the boat I was in, he says it filled such ecstasy that nothing in this dunya can compare with it. Now this came in as a gift for this concern, and I should not overstep the mark with anybody. And that zikr that was dominant in the heart, I made a mistake, I must correct it. Now when there's a zikr in the heart, then this is the response, this is the reaction. This is how a person then, even his mistakes, how he responds to his mistakes. Otherwise, the last thing a person can do is accept his mistake.